Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast number one.
Show number one.
And today's topic is...
What happened to us?
All our paranormal experiences.
Yes.
So, Joe, okay, tell me a little bit about your first paranormal experience.
The first one that I can remember. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure I've had some in that I don't remember. I was working in a factory. And in that factory, we did glass work. We made windows for Ford. And I was driving a forklift down the aisle, and I looked over and saw this girl standing on the conveyor. Now, these conveyors are like tubes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't stand on them. They're rollers. So you could stand if your foot was across two of them. But the way she was standing there, mm-hmm. you couldn't stand on them. I'm thinking, why is this girl standing here? So I'm driving down the aisle, and I see her. And I look away, and I look back, and she's gone.
That's weird.
And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what just happened?
What did she look like? What was she wearing?
Imagine a girl wearing a white sweater.
Okay.
Okay, she was a blonde girl, mm-hmm. white sweater, blue jeans mm-hmm. that, like we were talking before, they're like blue jeans, but they're not. Mm-hmm. They're just that color, mm-hmm. but more like slack type stuff.
Okay.
And... what keeps popping in my mind is like a girl from the 50s.
Okay.
And I don't know if that building was around back then. You know, I really don't know anything about this building. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I worked there, we didn't care, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was not into the paranormal or anything back then. But it was so weird because, like I said, I was driving my forklift down the aisle. And I look over and she's there. And I turn around and she's gone.
Wow.
I mean, and I was thinking in my head about yelling out, hey, who's girlfriend or whatever, but why would somebody be standing on the conveyor belt?
Right.
Or, you know, I keep saying belt, but like I said, they were just tubes.
Like metal rollers?
Yeah, like a roller tube, you know. And mm-hmm. so she was standing there, and to this day, I can picture her in my mind.
Was she looking directly at you?
Yeah. Oh, as I was driving by, she just like looked at me, and like I said, I looked there, and I looked back, and she was gone.
Wow.
And it's not like anything paranormal happened to that building that I know of,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's
but it stuck with you all this time.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about it, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was my first time. I've always been interested in UFOs mm-hmm. and all that. I love looking at the stars. You know, I love the history behind the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I say that, but I mean our Earth history about the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Orion.
Mm-hmm.
The constellation Orion is just unbelievable. And a lot of people say that's where we're from.
Wow.
You know, if you look, you can actually see the Orion Nebula with your eyes. If you look at the belt.
Okay.
You know, right now it's summer. As we're recording this, it's summertime, so it's not there. But if you go out on a clear night and look at the belt, you look right below it, there's this fuzzy bit. And that's the Orion Nebula. And the reason I bring that up is there's a lot of paranormal stuff, you know, with the pyramids, the ancient Aztecs, the Indians, that relate to
mm-hmm.
the constellation Orion. And I'm working on a show for that, so
okay.
I don't want to go too much into that.
Stay
but
tuned.
Anyhow, yeah. I'm warning you people that are listening.
Warning.
I'm warning our one listener that I have a tendency
Mom.
To go on these rabbit holes. So... Jen has her stick out, and if I get off topic, she hits me with a stick.
I beat him.
Yes.
Senseless.
So anyhow.
Just kidding.
That was really the first thing that pops in my mind that happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like I said, you know, back then we didn't think of that. I mean, I was not really into the stars and stuff like that back then. I was just, 22 years old?
A baby.
Just a baby, drinking a lot of booze. But... yeah, I mean, I've done my experience with the paranormal lately
mm-hmm.
has been my, I want to say ghost hunting, but we were ghost hunting.
We're investigating.
Because I didn't really, I know the difference between investigating and ghost hunting, and
right.
I think my first couple of them were just hunts because we really didn't have the equipment and stuff. But I did the Collingwood Arts Center with you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did Chicago.
Chicago was...
And Jerome.
Jerome, Arizona. Amazing town.
Wild.
Very, very haunted.
You know, one little side note, and I know this is a PG show, but there's a shaft that Jerome is an old copper. Yeah. Jerome is an old mining town. Mm-hmm. And Jerome is also, in my mind, one of the haunted, most haunted places I've ever been to. I mean, mm-hmm. there's just unbelievable stuff. There's a hotel there that we'll talk about later, but it's just amazing the stuff that goes on in this hotel.
It's all over the town. There's not just one particular building. There's the whole town seems haunted.
Yeah. And when we were there, we talked to one of the historians, and he was telling us about the number of people that died in this hotel.
Yes.
Because, you know, with the miners and all that. And so anyhow, Jerome was awesome. There's this, when you go into town, there's a mine shaft that you can look down. And this thing is like 1,500 feet down.
So they have like plexiglass?
Yeah.
Or was it real glass you were standing on?
No, it was plexiglass. And what it is they have a metal grating that goes up to it.
Okay.
And then they have plexiglass so you can look down in the shaft. And, I mean, it just goes on forever. So, anyways, the weird thing that happened to me there. We just got into town. And I know you remember this, but I'm telling the listener. We just got into town. And we were like, okay, cool, check this out, a mineshaft. And I was reading the thing, and it, you know, it says haunted mineshaft. I'm thinking, okay, how can a mineshaft be haunted? So anyways, I stood on top of the glass part mm-hmm. and looked down, and I swear to God, it felt like somebody reached up, grabbed my insides, and just tried to pull me down into the shaft.
That's freaky.
It was the weirdest feeling I've ever had.
You seemed a little freaked out after you stepped off of that.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, this is a PG show, but I'm to tell you where they grabbed me.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, my man bits. But anyhow, but that's it's like the core of my body
mm-hmm.
because I was standing there and I had, you know, my legs were like kind of spread apart so I could look down in the shaft,
mm-hmm.
and it just. I swear, it felt like somebody reached up and tried to pull me into the shaft. And I couldn't step off the thing for a few seconds.
Wow.
And then I stepped off and I was like, you know, Jen, you won't believe what just happened.
And I wouldn't stand over it because I don't like heights whatsoever.
It's so cool, though. I mean, on our next trip, I'm going to go back.
Yeah, we definitely have to go back there.
I'm going to take a laser pointer or something and see how deep that shaft really is.
Yeah.
But yeah, we, you know, as me and Jen did some hunts together, and you know, you definitely have a lot more experience than I do. I've only done, you know, like four of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I definitely want to do more, and that's, we've got some lined up here that I'm going to do. But you know, why don't you tell the listener a little bit more about yourself, because the hunts that you've, or the investigations you've done, and sure. the places you've been, the stories are awesome.
Yeah, so my experience, I've always been a fan of anything that's a mystery, paranormal, unusual. I think it all started when we were 4 or 5 years old and our dad used to watch In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
That was awesome.
That always loved anything to do with treasure hunting or ghosts or vampires or Bigfoot. So some of the places that I've been to and investigated in around Toledo, I've been to the Toledo Yacht Club, which is amazing old building. If you get a chance to go out there, go out there. Collingwood Art Center is this huge old college convent that is just an amazing building in itself, but it's very, very active. And we can talk about a little bit about that later. I've also been to Gettysburg, which was an absolutely amazing experience. I mean, you just feel the history. When you step into that town, you can just feel.
Yeah, and I want to go back.
I can't even describe
it. I want to go there with you.
You have to.
After hearing the story, I want to go.
Even if you're not interested in ghost hunting, just to go to experience.
The history,
the living history, the... It's just, I can't even, if I could put it into words, unless you go there and experience, you physically feel the history there.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and you amazing. Know, I love history, and that's one of the main reasons I got into the paranormal also, is because of the history. So what else have you done?
Okay, so I've had some experiences when I lived in Hollywood, California, been to Chicago, and a couple other places, went to Fort Meigs in Perrysburg. We did a ghost walk there.
That was cool.
That was really fun.
It wasn't an investigation. It was one of them Halloween things where they all the people dress up as the old soldiers, mm-hmm. and they tell stories, and I really love it. And if you go on to our Facebook page,
yes,
I posted a picture from that of a gentleman that was doing a reenactment and he was telling stories. Take a look at that picture. I'm not going to talk about it because I want to see if you notice something in that picture. It was cool.
Very cool. And then the most active place that I've been to was the Ohio Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Mansfield Prison, most famously known for Shawshank Redemption, was filmed there. Had some amazing things happen and experiences there. And I actually got to ghost hunt with the Ghost Adventures crew. Yes. Zach, Nick, and Aaron at the time. You know, Nick has since left the show and went on to his own show, and we wish him all the best. Yeah, but amazing, amazing people. Chip Coffee was there. He's a psychic medium. And actually got to investigate with the late Mark and Debbie Constantino.
Constantinoff, yeah.
They were just wonderful people.
I really wish I could have met them.
Oh, gosh. Very, very knowledgeable in their field. And we got an amazing EVP there. And it's on their website. If you go to their website and look for Mansfield Prison, or it might be under Ohio Reformatory. We were in the back of the prison. And we were in a small group and asking, you know, are you here? Something to that effect. And we said, you're not here, you know, prove it to us, blah, blah, blah. And on the recording, it came out and I said, we're not bullshitters.
Really?
Clear as day. And it scared.
I need to go on their website and listen to this.
It scared. Sorry about the language, but it really scared the bejesus out of me. But it was an amazing, amazing experience. I saw a full body apparition at the prison. I got my hair tugged. I saw a lady get her gold bracelet ripped from her wrist.
That was cool. You
told me about that. In solitary confinement when Zach was provoking very heavily. It was very, very scary. He does
that
a lot.
I noticed that.
He does.
Which, hey, you know what? It gets the spirits moving.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. It scares me, but, you know, I'd rather just be communicating friendly and just...
Just what? Just talking to them?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see you went blank. You're like, I'm trying to think. But, yeah. You know, and I want you to tell the listener, and I'm gonna say
listeners.
Why. Yes, tell our one listener.
Hi, Mom.
About what happened to you at that house? I forget the name of the road, but you lived in that little house off the alley.
Yes.
And the reason I bring that up,
yes,
because I just thought of that. The factory that I used to work at, where I saw that full body apparition of that girl,
mm-hmm.
is literally like a quarter mile from that.
Right.
And who knows? It may be
related. This is interesting because it wasn't a friendly ghost. I rented a small house on this little small alley on this gentleman's property. He was 94 years old. His name was Mr. Ward. He was so sweet, so sweet. So I lived there, and my roommate had moved out. So I was there by myself. And this was right after somebody in our family had passed away. And I woke up one morning, and I was running late for work, so I got up, and it was about 5:30 in the morning. Got up, getting ready, go to walk into the kitchen, and this black mass comes swooping at me. I mean, from the kitchen into the living room. It was a very, very tiny house. It was probably 500 square feet.
It's kind of cool, because I drive past there a lot, and I look at it, and it was almost like, back in the day, mm-hmm. when there was nothing around there, I'm wondering if that was like the servants' quarter?
It could have been, because that main house was pretty big.
Yeah, and then you had that small house, and it was like off the side.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't facing the same way as the other house. And I know that property mm-hmm. used to be all farmland.
Right.
You know, so and go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. And so I'm standing there, and this dark mass comes rushing at me. And just the feeling that came over me, it was not friendly. It was very angry, and I heard this deep growling voice that said, "Get out," and I got the heck out of there. I got in my car. I don't even know if I grabbed my purse or not, and drove out there and went to work. I was so scared. And I came back and nothing ever happened again. I moved out shortly after that, but it was very, very intense and very scary. And
it'd be interesting to do some research and find out about that property. And
yeah, not so much if it was the property or if it was something attached to me. I don't know.
Well, you haven't done any. Were you doing investigations back then?
No, not at all. I was not. I was just 21 and just out there living my life and, you know, doing what 21-year-olds do.
So who knows? Maybe it was something attached to that property.
It could have been. Very interesting.
Okay, so, and what else? I mean, you got a whole book here.
Oh, my gosh. Stuff. Many, many experiences. I've had experiences in relatives' house. We have a relative who no longer lives in this property, but there were many ghost sightings in this particular house. They always would have this family Christmas party every year, and we'd all go there. And I remembered being a young child and loved to go there, always look forward to it every year, but the house was haunted. And every year, everybody would put their coats up into the main bedroom, and that's where most of the ghost sightings were spotted. And I would always go in there and be so scared to walk in that house or into that room.
Yeah, and I remember as a kid, you know, going there, there was, you know, we were kids, but there was always something about that house.
Right, definitely. And, you know, seeing a reflection in the mirror that scared the crap out of me. And, you know, we'd spend the night there and I couldn't sleep. It was just very, very, very scary.
Now, with that particular house, when they were doing the renovation, is that the house that they found the gun in?
Yes. So what happened was they bought this old house. It was over 125 years old at the time they bought it. And this is in the 70s going into the 80s. They were doing some renovations in the attic. They were doing rewiring and, you know, putting in insulation and such. When they pulled one of the boards up in the attic, they found a gun, an old gun from the 1800s. So they took this gun down and they were looking at it. It was a silver six shooter type gun. I don't know if it was a 45. I'm not a big gun person, but it had an inscription on it. And it said, "To Mother from Will, December 25th. 1890.
Yeah, I remember that. It's like, wait a minute, you found a gun under the boards in the attic?
Right.
I mean,
with
that was wild.
Five of the six bullets in it. There was a bullet missing. So as soon as they brought this gun down, that's when all the activity started happening in the house.
I mean, I remember hearing stories about them walking up the stairs and seeing a black mass.
Yep.
Or an apparition, whatever you want to call it, at the top of the steps.
Yeah, so it was really, really interesting. They had a lot of experiences. They would see this older gentleman appear in their bedroom, and they were really freaked out about it. So what happened is they started investigating. They started looking into the history of the house, and it was one of the prominent houses in Toledo at the time, back in the 1800s. Probably one of the four, you know, forefathers of industry or, you know, factories in Toledo. They looked into it, and every 7 years, somebody in that house had either died or been in an accident.
That is so interesting.
So on the seventh year that they lived there, that's when their son got in a horrible car accident.
Yeah, I remember that.
So they went to the library. They were looking up the history of the house and the person that built the house. They turned the page of the historical book, and the picture of the guy who lived in the house looked exactly like our cousin who lived in there.
Yeah.
Exactly and like it.
Just all the stuff that went on there. And we used to have parties, and they'd sit there and tell us the stories. And, you know,
we need to get her on.
Yeah. Back She's then, I was like thinking, yeah, okay, they got stories, you know, because back then I wasn't interested in this stuff. And, you know, ghosts aren't real.
Right. So they brought in a medium, and they said that they wanted the gun to go back where it came from. So they said, okay. So they took the gun, wrapped it up, put it back in the attic, sealed the attic, closed it. And then a couple of years, all the activity stopped. So a couple of years later, they had to do some more work, like wiring or something up in the attic. In the meantime, at night they'd lay in the bed and they'd hear scratching noises in the attic.
Like what?
Like something being dragged across the attic. Okay.
Not like an animal.
No.
Okay.
No. So they had to do some wiring. So they unboard the attic door. They go up there and the gun had moved from one side of the attic to the other.
See, now I've never knew about that stuff.
You didn't hear about that
no,
one.
No, I didn't know that they had a median come in.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Maybe we should ask her, see if she wants to get on the show.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. And then they were replacing the hot water tank in the basement and found the second gun underneath the hot water tank.
And more stuff happens.
Yeah. So
that's awesome. I mean, like I said, let's see if we can get her on the show.
Yeah.
We're not going to say her name or nothing, of course, but she's our cousin. And she's coming into town, so she maybe she'll get on the show.
Yeah, we should definitely love to hear her side of it.
What other places have you been? I know you've been to a ton of places.
Right. So well, I want to tell about one thing that happened. Well, two things. Okay, so I bought my first house, and my 35 years old, never owned a home, very excited, so I buy this house. This house is 85 years old. 75 at the time. It's now 85 years old. And the person that I had bought it from, her husband and her love to do yard work. He was a woodworker, a farmer. They moved to this house. He got sick and wasn't able to do what they loved to do, which was gardening and you know, tooling around the house and such. He ended up passing away, actually committed suicide in my garage.
Did he?
Yeah. He hung himself.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that's what the neighbor guy across the street told me. So when I first moved in here, I had a lot of different weird feelings. Like I would hear knocks and I thought, it's an old house. It's going to settle. Mm-hmm. But it's brick house. So it's not. I don't know. Yeah, it was just weird. It was just different.
The wind's not going to affect it as much. Like,
right.
Like my house, you know, if you spend the night in my house, you'll think it is haunted because of all the noises, but it's not. It's just the squirrels.
It's your groundhogs.
Groundhogs, the squirrels, and the old house. But yeah, I didn't know about the guy. I didn't know the previous owner.
Yeah. So one day I had my little niece here and she was sitting on my lap. She was actually my great niece. And we were sitting in the basement in my office. Where I do all my writing. I'm a screenwriter. And so we were sitting here and we're watching videos. She was about 3 years old at the time. So we're sitting here and she's watching her Elmo video and we're having fun. She plops off my lap and she walks into the next room, which is where the furnace and the hot water tank is and the electrical box. And she goes over to the corner. Yeah. Nothing in the corner, just looks in the corner and points upward and says, "Grandpa, Grandpa. Grandpa," which and was really, really, really bizarre. And I have goosebumps right now telling that. And I was like, okay. I've heard whistles in the house. I hear my dad whistling. My dad's a whistler. And I think my dad's here. So I go upstairs and nobody's there.
Yeah.
Strange. And then something really, really interesting happened. This was last year. I had an elderly neighbor across the street pass away. I didn't know she passed away. It was 3 months before I found out that she even passed away. That's what a great neighbor I am.
Yeah, you never talked to her, do you?
No. She very much kept to herself, and we'd wave every once in a while. Very nice lady. She was a widow for years, a breast cancer survivor, and had open heart surgery, but she was 94, and she would get out and walk up and down the street. Anyway, so she passed away. One night I was laying in my bed and I was sound asleep. And all of a sudden I woke up and I felt like, if you've ever been in an electrical storm or too close to like electrical thing, your whole body is just, it just feels like electricity is going through your body.
Like you're about to get struck by lightning.
Yeah. That's exactly what it felt like. So I roll over and she's standing there and she was completely white. But I could tell it was her. It was her hair and her face. And she was just standing there. And I didn't know what to do.
This was in your bedroom?
In my bedroom. And I was completely awake. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I wasn't scared. But I didn't know what to do. So I just rolled back over. And I felt that feeling. And then it was gone. And I felt bad. I felt really bad about it. Because I should have said hello, yeah, or how are you, or yeah, thank you for coming and seeing me. And I, you know, I'm sorry that you've passed on, but
I've come back from the dead to say hi and you just rolled over.
I didn't know what to do. And then I felt really bad because she was a nice lady.
Well, who knows? She could still be in the house.
She might be, you know, probably looking at my mess.
Time has no meaning.
Probably
on the other
telling
side.
Me I got to do some laundry or something, clean the house.
Probably looking at your yard going, get your brother over here to cut the grass again.
Oh my gosh. That's a whole nother show, people. Jen cutting her grass for 3 hours.
Yeah. I tell you what, I remember me and Jen did the investigation in Chicago, and that was really cool. I mean, that was like my third one that I've done.
Yep.
And we travel a lot with a band, and while we were in Chicago, we went to this ghost hunt, and it was kind of neat because the guy gave us a presentation about the history of the building and everything, and then we went out and did our hunt, and it was kind of neat. And I actually was more interested in the old steam engines and that were in the building.
Yeah.
But as a investigation goes, we really didn't get much.
Right.
A few of the other people in the group, they said that they got some stuff, but the neat thing I thought was the cars.
So we were originally supposed to investigate in one building, but they had since moved to this other building, which is supposedly haunted too. And it was actually where Al Capone would bring his, they would come in on a boat right next to the building. There was a river, and they would bring all their liquor and, you know, other prohibition items, you know, loose women, loose change, they sing. And so there was a tunnel in there. Remember the tunnel?
Yeah, they had it blocked off, but it was kind of neat because the door was still there.
Yeah,
that
was cool.
You opened
it
up and there was brick, just like you see in the movies. But
so who knows what kind of debauchery was going on there. But we did the investigation. We didn't really experience too much.
No,
it was kind of noisy outside. And so Joe and I went outside, and we walk out and tell them what happens.
Yeah, we walk outside and we hear these cars. And it's really cool because it's an old part of Chicago, and it's in Chinatown. And all those streets are like crossing each other and all that in different angles. And we could hear these cars and the screeching noises. And we're like, yeah.
It was like,
so all of a sudden we hear a siren and hundreds of these little cars, the little cars with the loud exhaust, which, you know, I'm into cars, but I'd like the big ones, you know, but it was Tokyo Drift all the way.
They were Tokyo drifting.
I was loving it.
And being chased by like four or five cops, just one undercover cop.
They just come out of the wood, you know, out of the roads that you couldn't see the
cars. It was like being on a movie set. It was so awesome.
Yeah, so that's always our ghost hunt in Chicago. It was more fun to watch the cars.
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, we didn't see any ghosts, but we got to see an awesome police chase.
Yeah, and we're going to go back. I mean,
definitely.
We already decided he's our friend. The guy that runs the ghost hunt is our friend on Facebook, so yeah, we're going to get a hold of him.
Very
and we're
nice
going to go
man.
Back because I had fun.
And you never know. You know, some nights you could go and there would be a ton of activities, and the next night, nothing. You
and
know, it just depends.
And that's one thing about
on those spirits.
That's one thing about, you know, the investigations. You know, people see the TV shows, and, you know, the TV shows are half hour to an hour long, and they see all this activity.
Right.
But they don't realize that
it takes hours and hours of filming.
Yeah, and you know, the hunts or the I keep saying hunts, but the investigations that I was on, you know, you get hours of nothing, and then you get all of a sudden EVP or something, and you're like, holy crap, you know. So
yeah,
if you're interested in being an investigator, just remember, it is like on TV.
It is.
In an aspect of things that happen, but it's also not like TV because in TV they have to edit everything down so it makes it a good show.
Right.
And they only get
and you know time, what you know, don't like get hour. On TV? You don't get that feeling, the experience, the actual physical feelings, you know, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, you know, what your skin's reacting to.
Well, it's a great example of, you know, like when we were in the Collingwood Arts Center, one of the stories is that there was a little girl in one of the bathrooms off the main entrance. So I just wandered down there, and we did not have any equipment. All we had were the meters, you know, the
EMF meters.
EMF meters mm-hmm. is all we had. But I walked into the bathroom and people say you get a cold feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like walking into a cooler
yep.
in a restaurant.
Yep.
I couldn't believe it. I've never experienced that. So, you know, as I'm telling you this, I'm also telling it for our listeners. I walked out and got a hold of Jen and said, Jen, come here. There's a cold draft over here. And where this bathroom is located, mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm a skeptic.
Right.
I looked around to see if there was a vent or something, mm-hmm. but
there was no air conditioning on. It was summertime.
Yeah, I don't even know if they have air there.
The windows were completely sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, part of it was normal temperature, and then you get to where we thought she was.
Yeah, literally was 1 foot difference.
Freezing.
It was, like I said, okay, you want to experience it? Next time you go to Wendy's or McDonald's,
mm-hmm.
just go in the cooler.
Yeah, and really.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And then, so the gentleman that was in charge of the hunt for that night,
mm-hmm.
he come over with the meters and they went nuts.
They were going off. Every time we asked a question, they would spike.
Yeah, we had it set down. We had probably about 6 meters, but we took two of them and we put them down on the floor
mm-hmm.
and we said, this means yes and this meter means no. And we sat there and had a conversation. I couldn't yeah. believe it. That was the first time I've ever experienced that stuff.
Yeah, and she, the little girl, I think her name was Caroline, she likes to hang out in that bathroom. And they have the old, what do you call them? Like the, saloon doors
yeah.
on each of the stalls. And she likes to go in there and rattle the door. So that's really, really neat experience.
Yeah, so if you're ever there and you hear the door rattling, go talk to her.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because it's the first time I've ever experienced, you know, mm-hmm. during an investigation.
Right.
And it was so profound that, and it wasn't like you see on TV where we scream and yell.
Yeah.
You know, we're there to talk to them. And that's another thing, too, is when you're doing an investigation, is remember what year that ghost supposedly died.
Right.
Because you got to talk to them like they know.
Sure. And, you know, it's different when you're talking to a spirit of a child, because a lot of times you'll feel them holding onto your leg. Like
a kid would grab
onto your legs. You need to go down to their levels, maybe sometimes bring some toys in for them. You know, things that they are familiar with so they feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, because the way that I figured it out is we don't know if she even knows that she died.
Right.
Time has no meaning on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And to her, this day could be, you know, we look at it as years. To her, it could be minutes.
Or seconds.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah, you never know.
That's the great question. So anyways,
what
else did we experience at Collingwood?
We had in the basement the evil experience with the entity in the basement,
yep.
which it was not, like we say, we didn't see it. But
we felt it.
Felt it, mm-hmm. and we asked it, do you want us to leave? And the meters went nuts.
Yes.
And we were like, well.
Did not want us there.
Okay, so if you want us to leave, give us a sign of some sort. And all of a sudden, we heard this huge bang.
Bang.
Yeah, and we're like, okay, we're leaving.
We're out.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Peace out. So, yeah, that was very, very cool to experience.
Now, I want you to tell me mm-hmm. and the listener about Gettysburg.
Okay, listeners. Had some really, really awesome experiences in Gettysburg. If you've ever been there, you know that there's one road that goes through the battlefield. It's 4 miles long. It's a two-lane road. So you go one way on one side and one way on the other. And there's no street lights. There's no people that live there. It's all protected land. It's,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
a state
sacred
park.
Ground.
Yeah.
And so my sister and I went to a paranormal conference, in Gettysburg one year, and it was amazing. And we got to meet a lot of people. There was, Bigfoot investigators and ghost investigators and all kinds of great
historians.
People. Historians. So we were driving through and it was about 11:30 at night. So the city is on one side of the field and the the conference center is at the other end. So it's about 4 miles in between. So it was summertime and it was 11:30 at night. It was dark out. There's nothing but stars. So there's no street lights. There's no people. If there's anybody coming up and down the road, you'll see them because it's just a 2-lane road. So we're driving along, going back to the hotel, and we decided to stop and just look out into the battlefield. You know, it's dark, and we thought, well, maybe we'll see something or hear something or, you know, maybe catch some orbs, which we did, not at that time, but we got some really awesome blue orbs on one of the battlefields.
Did you by chance save that so we can see it?
Yes, we'll have to get with sister. She has that.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, so I get out of the car. My sister stops the car, and we're just on the side of the road. And, maybe 4 feet from the road is a split rail fence. Now, it's kind of a tall split rail fence, and it had 3 or 4 slabs. So I'm short, so I had to kind of bend down between the top one and the next one down. And I'm just snapping a couple pictures through the out into the darkness, into the battlefield, just to see what we'll get. And I got my camera out, and I'm snapping away, and all of a sudden I hear in my ear a young man's voice, "What are you doing?" And it was so freaky. I looked around. There's absolutely nobody around. No other cars had come up and down the street at that time. There's, you know, nobody lives out there. It was so amazing, but scary at the same time. I like took my camera and I ran back to the car and my sister. I'm like, go, run, go, go, go. She takes off. And it scared me. And it was more inquisitive than anything. He was like, "What are you doing?" So it was a very young man's voice, and it was awesome. So, you know, maybe it was a young soldier who's, you know, didn't know what a camera was.
Yeah, because, you know, back then they didn't have any. I mean, they had cameras, obviously, but
yeah, but not like that. Yeah. No. So that
or
was,
even seeing someone just stop for no reason in the middle of a battlefield because in yeah. his mind it's. Yeah. Still going on.
Right. And, you know, there weren't women fighting at that time. There was
and
just.
He was wondering, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And I hightailed it out there. I never did get to answer his question. But yeah, that was an amazing. If you ever get a chance to go there, people go just to experience the history of the Civil War. It is amazing. You just feel the history. It's so unbelievable.
That's one thing that I love cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go. All the time. You can find me in cemeteries just walking around because that's where the history is.
Sure. And as a photographer, you know, you want to get out and explore and
yeah.
you know,
photo hunting,
photo ghost hunting,
photo ghost hunting. And, you know,
what are some of the cemeteries that you've been to?
Oh, well, one of the really cool places I've been to, and I've been wanting to go back is in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Lakeview Cemetery.
Yes.
That is cool. I mean, and for anybody out there, they welcome photographers.
Yes.
That's one of the places. And, you know, there's a lot of history there. I mean.
Sure. There's a president, Garfield.
Yeah, Garfield is there.
Yeah, Garfield.
And you can actually go inside his monument.
Yes.
I forget what they call it. Yeah. You walk down and you see him and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The caskets.
Yeah.
Yep. And really awesome staircase and stuff. And I don't know much of the history of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that it's just a lot of people go there just to walk around. I mean, when we were there, I saw people having picnics and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I mean, I go to one here in Toledo called Woodlawn Cemetery.
Amazing.
Which is
historic one, Woodlawn.
Yes, it's the historic Woodlawn Cemetery. If you look on our Facebook page, they just did their Memorial Day service, which is really cool.
Yes.
I made a short video, you know.
Yep, we do have, there is a section there for veterans, and I think they do have some Civil War veterans
oh, yeah.
in there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
they, I mean, that's, there's one monument there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple that are really cool. I mean, I want to do a whole show on that place, but the old Newsboys,
mm-hmm.
there's actually a pyramid.
Yes,
and it's
pyramid.
Huge.
Yes.
So if you get a chance, look it up online. There's a lot of stuff online, and I'm going to go back there with, my good camera and take some pictures.
And what's unique about that cemetery, it's also an arboretum. So, you know, if you love nature and trees, they have a walking tour.
Yeah, every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, it's free.
I did it last Wednesday.
Yeah, you can walk around and just check out the different foliage and the monuments and just the different architecture. They have a beautiful pond there, you know, if you want to go and reflect. And
if you get a chance, go and sit. There's a bridge. Mm-hmm. It's closed to traffic now. You can just walk over it, but there's a bridge, and it's been told that if you sit on the bridge, you can hear someone crying.
Oh,
yeah.
Have not experienced that.
No, I haven't either, but yeah, it's one of the haunted things that, I mean, this, it's one of the most haunted cemeteries in Toledo. I mean, I think it's even more haunted than the Wolfinger Cemetery that's in the Secor Metro Park.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really cool because one of the monuments that's there is when you first come into the park, a lot of people don't see it, but if you're coming to the park and you look right, you'll see this tall monument and there's a chair on top of the monument.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take you there and show you. Okay. But I'm not sure the story. I did. It was, if you go on Facebook or go on YouTube, you can see my video of the Memorial Day service. I did a little bit on that. The woman, I forget her name, but after her husband died, she sat in this chair in her living room. And she was pretty much a recluse.
Okay.
Okay, so she sat in this chair forever. And when she died, they actually shipped that chair to a quarry down south.
Okay.
And made an exact duplicate of the chair. And now it's up on top of the monument. And it is told that people have seen her sitting in that chair.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know? And so when I go in there, I always look at it. And I've taken a few pictures of it, but I have never seen anything. But I still kind of look up and, you know, give her a nod. And, you know, anytime I go into a cemetery, I'm very respectful.
Sure.
And I walk around. And even when I ride, I do ride my bike. I try to do it every day. Pretty much it's every third day or so I'm out riding my bike. And the place I park is the old battlefield in Monroe.
Okay.
And during, what is that, the War of 1812?
Yes.
Okay.
French Indian War.
Yeah. So, you know, when I park my bike or park my car and get my bike out, that's one of the first things I do is say, hey guys, how you doing?
Sure.
Because I was reading the plaque and where you park your cars, there was actually 2,000 bodies piled up there from the 20-minute battle.
20 minutes and 2,000 people died?
People, I want to have another, another idea for a show, but yeah, people walked from Kentucky, from Canada. You know, it was, you had the Indians, the British.
Native Americans.
Yes. You had the Native Americans, the Canadians, and the Americans all meet in Monroe. And they kind of just put their camps up. And it's so interesting to read about this battle because they set their tents up and everything. You could see them. And they have a little monument there, a cannon, and it says, at that tree line, that's where the Canadians were. And that. And they all just, basically, as we talk now, they hung out. And they're like, okay, the battle's ready. Let's fight. And they all lined up.
Bring it on.
20 minutes later, there were 2,000 people died right on that spot.
Unbelievable.
So getting back to the story, when I come in, I always say hi to the guys.
Well, yeah, I think it's very important to always be respectful to the spirits, you know. That's where they reside. That's where they stay.
Yeah.
You know, you're going on their territory. So exactly. It's always good to be respectful.
Yeah, because, you know,
to the property. And even when you're investigating, you know, you want to, one, be safe.
Yeah.
And two, be respectful of the place that you're in because you want to preserve it for other people to go in. In, you know, later dates, if you're throwing your garbage in or breaking things, you know,
and if you go in and you do these investigations, because we had the experience at one of them where the people that are doing the investigations, it was more like a party to them,
right?
You know, it's like, wait a minute, you have this opportunity to see what's on the other side,
right?
And communicate with the spirits. And it was like a party.
Right. And it's hard to investigate when people are talking and, you know, you'd want your evidence to get tampered with or what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for?
I'm not saying
for?
It. It's like,
contaminated.
Yeah, I was going to say noise pollution.
No, contaminated. You know, and it's hard because, you know, you truly want to be there and get some great evidence. But, you know, you have people is like just.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. The one girl we were looking at her like, would you please shut up?
Shut up. So, yeah. So anyway, so, you know, in one of our further show, we'll go into maybe the do's and don'ts of investigating.
Yeah. What makes a good investigator? It's a great title for a show.
Yeah, definitely. And I also wanted to mention there is a haunted cemetery in Sylvania, Ohio, and there is a Civil War section that they have seen Civil War soldier there.
Are you talking about the Toledo Memorial? On Monroe? No?
No, okay. It's a Ravine Cemetery.
Ravine?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been there.
It's across from Flower Hospital.
You know, I've never been there.
Yeah. I'll talk about it later. But yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I went out there one day, but went out by myself. You know, it was just at sunset. I sneeze.
Oh, no. She's going to sneeze, folks, live on the air.
Live? Okay, I'm good. So anyways, yeah, I went out there, but I didn't see anything or catch anything. My first official sneeze on my podcast.
I'm not going to edit that out.
Keep it in.
I'm leaving it in.
Keep it in.
That's how we are.
That's how we roll.
That's how we roll. This is not NPR.
No, it's not. Anyways, so just getting back, wrapping up, you know, where we live, we're in a very unique area. We have a lot of history here. In the great,
a lot of battles,
Great Lakes area, we have, you know, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana, Illinois, whatever.
We're going there. We're going to be in the Cave in the Rock.
We are going to Cave in the Rock.
I am excited about Cave in the Rock.
We need to find and investigate some pirates.
Pirates on the Ohio River. Whoever thought?
I know, amazing. Maybe we'll find the pirates' treasure that's supposedly buried along the Ohio River banks.
Yep, and I want to do a complete show on that, just on that by itself.
Yes, yeah, so we'll bring you all of our investigation and our evidence.
So anything else? I mean, I know you've done tons of investigations. Anything else you can think of?
Oh, gosh. You know, one of the best evidence that I got when I've gone to a location was at Mansfield Prison. In Mansfield, Ohio, everybody knows it was filmed. The Shawshank Redemption was filmed there.
Yep,
with Morgan Freeman and Tim Robbins.
He's God.
He is.
Morgan Freeman is God.
So, anyways, was able to go there and had some wonderful experiences. I saw a full body apparition. I was coming down the steps, and if you've ever been there or seen video of it, the stairways are at the end of the cell. So the cells are on both sides. There's the east side and the west side, and about five floors up. And at the end is the steps to go down. So it's kind of like a zigzag, you know, you go down. So the group that I was with, they were about a flight underneath me. And I was coming around the corner onto the fourth floor, from the fifth floor to the fourth floor. And went to turn around the corner, and you know how you go and you're gonna, like, you think you're gonna bump into somebody, yeah. And you go, oh, excuse me.
I do that all the time.
Turn the corner, and I went whoop, and right in front of me was a 6-foot white mist of a man, and I was like, like that, and then he was just gone. He just disappeared.
Could you tell what he looked like, or
no? But I could tell it was a man, and it was a white shadow. Kind of like if you threw baby powder in the air. You know how that looks? It was just like that, and then it was completely gone. And it scared me. I started running down the steps. I thought I was going to fall down these steps. And that was really, really intense, but exhilarating at the same time.
Yeah.
I always tell people, for me, ghost hunting, I don't get scared, but I get scared. So it's like when you're on a roller coaster and you're going up the first hill and you're going clunk, 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 clunk. Up the, and you're so nervous and so excited, and then you get over the top and then you zoom down and you're like exhilarated. It's like, yes, it was awesome. And that for me is what I feel when I go ghost hunting.
Yeah, I mean, I lots of times the, you know, the times that I've went, you think that people are going to scream and run. And I mean, they do.
Sure. But
to me, I was more interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a ghost appears to me, I'm going to try to talk to them instead of screaming or whatever.
Well, you never know how you're going to react, you know, and I guess it just depends on, you know, what you see, where you see it, and how it appears to you.
Yeah, and how long.
Sure.
Because, you know, as I said before, I saw that girl standing mm-hmm. on the rollers.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's the only apparition I've ever seen.
Right.
So hopefully I'll see more.
You will. You will. We'll get out there and investigate.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Let's wrap it up here.
We are going to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening. We're going to try to get a few more good shows on. We're going to definitely talk about the Collingwood Arts Center because we have a event coming up there.
Yep, September 18th.
September 18th. See us there live.
Live and in person.
Live and in person. And we will be recording. So if you want to get on the air.
Yes.
If you want to get on our podcast.
We'd love to have you hear your stories, your experiences.
Yeah. Get on our Facebook page and, you know, like if you haven't liked it yet, like us on Facebook. One important thing I want to ask. We're not going to be charging for the show yet. We're talking about having a VIP membership that's going to be cheap. It's going to be so cheap.
Yep.
Like $5 cheap.
Affordable.
Yeah.
Not cheap.
Which,
affordable.
You know, as we get better at this, we're going to have longer shows. So, anyhow, get on our Facebook page, hook us up, look at, you know, look at stopping by one of the shows, you know, at one of our live events yep. so we can meet you. We want to meet you.
So any live events that we have, we'll list on our Facebook page and our new website that's coming out soon. It's www.222paranormal.com. Look for that soon.
Yep. And give us a rating review on iTunes. This really helps us, gets us out there, lets iTunes know that we're there. So help us out, you know, give us a rating review and be honest. If you don't like the show, let us know so that we can adjust. We're going to get better.
Yep.
I mean, we're kind of stumbling right now because this is our first show, but we're going to get better. Yep. We're going to have some fun. So anyhow, got anything else to say?
That is it for now. We're going to wrap it up. We thank you for listening. We appreciate it.